Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and greetings to all of our listeners.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for being with us today. Father and I will be here for the next hour, and I'll be here for the next 2 hours. We've also got a great guest in Daniel O'Connor in the second hour you may want to stick around for. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Just a couple of announcements before we get going here. The first one is coming up on Monday, October the 10th. It'll be time to play golf in the annual In His Sign Catholic Radio Golf Tournament. Come out. And just around the corner, like I said, Monday, October the 10th, and we're going to play at Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse. We're excited for this year's event and look forward to having another wonderful outing and sharing of some great golf moments. Please email praise@inhissign.com. That's praise@inhissign.com to reserve your spot in the golf tournament. If you're unable to golf, please consider sponsoring a priest or donating a prize for the silent auction. For additional information as well as sponsorship opportunities, visit our website at inhissign.com, scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and download the brochure. Or call us here at 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. It's always a great day. Somehow or other, Kathleen always seems to get great weather for that event. Lots of priests, a couple of meals together, lunch and dinner. So come on out and join us. Also, our Matt Talbot Shrine is open in the St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. It opens at 9 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays following the 8:30 daily mass and open until around 6 p.m. If you're going to make a trek down, be sure to get in touch with Father or I through the Our House Ministries website, and we can arrange to meet you over in the church. All right, how about if we get started with prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, Matt being a patron of our show, along with a few others. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And Ken, I just want to pray that Golden Hail Mary for your beloved mother who went home to God on Monday, and to pray for your family as well for this Golden Hail Mary, that Mother Mary put you all under her mantle, help you to realize that you have two mothers in heaven now, your mother Barbara, Bobby, and also our Blessed Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray
for
us
sinners. Now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
The eternal rest grant to Barbara, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her, and may she and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
the outpouring of messages and love and what have you since Monday has just been kind of overwhelming. So thanks to all those that have reached out. It was the crazy kind of weekend. I was out of town and came back early. And Father, you were a blessing on Sunday afternoon to you and Patrick, our engineer that's here. You and Patrick came out to the nursing home and gave my mother everything she needed to get ready for that journey home. And I guess it was less than 24 hours later, about 20 hours later, that the Lord finally called her home. And she's in a much better place now, I hope. No more suffering. And like I said before we came on the air, I've talked to her more in the last 3 days than I have in the last 3 years, I think, just because, you know, the condition that she was in. And in a lot of ways, it's just a real blessing that the Lord's taken her home. So,
yeah,
thank
Ken,
you.
That was a blessing for me and Patrick as well to be with your family. And as soon as I walked in, I saw those eyes, that I saw that eyes gaze so often with the Little Sisters of the Poor for 21 years at the moment of the hour of death. And all I could see in her was the suffering Jesus, you know, the God himself through that baptismal where we're rooted in him, that he just shines through in that little radiance that was upon her. But when you mentioned about getting so many texts, emails, and all that, you really see God. A lot of times people, you know, when they lose a loved one, where's God at? Where's God at? Well, he's right there when they bring in the coffee and the donuts, the emails, the telephone calls. And that's the Lord, because he moves all of our hearts to go to the assistance of those who are grieving. But yeah, he's always with us until the end of the world. But that was a great blessing, Ken, to be there with your mom.
Yeah.
And ushering her home to that place in heaven.
Amen.
In all the glory.
Yeah,
amen.
And it was great for my brother and sister that were there. They were still talking about, I guess right at the 11, what do you mean he saw Jesus' eyes and and what have you, and you know, the prayers that they weren't familiar with and what have you. It was almost like the mini catechism. In that hour or so. So I can't thank you enough for making the trek out there. I really appreciate it.
And all those Hail Marys fulfilled at the hour there.
Yep.
And when you say hour, it doesn't have to be, 60 minutes. It could be like our Lord's hour that was, 6 hours on the cross.
Yeah. Yeah, now you, I think you and Patrick left around 2:40 or a little after 2:30. And, you know, there's always chatter, you know, how much longer do you think? And it's like, well, 3 o'clock's only 20 minutes away. And like, what do you mean 3 o'clock? And then the divine mercy hour. But so 3 o'clock came and went, and I probably stayed until about 8 o'clock that night. And then she passed 9 o'clock the next morning.
We don't know the day or the hour, as
no.
the Lord said.
Nope.
And you know, it's so beautiful, like when we're conceived in our mother's wombs, our God knows exactly when, how, the minute, the second that he's going to take us. So it's his it's on his timetable, not ours.
That's right. All right.
What's it saying, Ken? He may not always be on time, but he's never late.
He's never late. Amen. All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. We got 52 minutes left now. So anybody can call in and join the conversation, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour for our Is That God, Is That Odd, or Is That God segment. When we come back, if God's touched you in a particular way in the last couple of weeks and you want to share it with our listeners, we would love to hear from you. We'll give out those numbers again before we go to the break. So, this week we are in the 23rd week of Ordinary Time. I think last week I threw Father off. I said it was the 23rd, and it was only the 22nd. I had mistyped it in my notes here. So we are in the 23rd week in Ordinary Time, and you can tell August is over. August, there were saints every day. In September, not so much. On Monday the 5th, it was St. Teresa of Calcutta. On Thursday, September the 8th, tomorrow, Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary for all our folks down there in media. And on Friday the 9th, St. Peter Claver. So last week we didn't get to St. Pope Gregory the Great, so we thought that we would start with him. And he was, got to get to the right screen, there we go. St. Gregory the Great, born in the year, around the year 540. He would die on March the 12th in the year 604. He was a prefect of Rome before he was 30, so must have been a bright young guy, or at least popular, in order to become prefect of Rome. And then after 5 years in office, he resigned and then founded six monasteries on his Sicilian estate, and then became a Benedictine monk in his own home at Rome. He would be ordained a priest and became one of the Pope's seven deacons. He also served 6 years in the East as a papal representative in Constantinople. From there, he was recalled to become abbot, but at the age of 50, was elected pope, and it's interesting, by the clergy and the people of Rome. So not like it is today with the College of Cardinals back then. It looks like the clergy and the people were involved, and they elected Gregory as pope. Direct and firm. Apparently, he got rid of some unworthy priests from office, did away with taking money for many of the services that the church would do, emptied the papal treasury in order to get prisoners back from the Lombards, and also to care for persecuted Jews and the victims of plague and famine. One of the other things he did was send 40 monks over to England. He really wanted to see England be converted. Also known for the reform of the liturgy and strengthening respect for doctrine. And there was a lot of strife going on. Obviously, this is the Middle Ages. They had invasions from the Lombards. They also had difficult relations with the East. And then when Rome itself was under attack, he had the opportunity to interview the Lombard king. He wrote a book called Pastoral Care, on the duties and qualities of a bishop, and was actually read for centuries after he had died. He's called the Great Gregory, and has been given a place with Augustine, Ambrose, and Jerome as one of the four key doctors of the Western Church. And just one thing I wanted to add in light of my mother's passing the other day is every year around All Saints Day, All Souls Day, we usually have a great guest, and Susan Tassone comes on, who has a great devotion to the souls in purgatory. And she had reminded me, as have a couple of others, about Gregorian Masses. And the idea here is that it's based on Gregory, who prayed for a friend of his who was a monk, Justice, and offered 30 Masses in a row, daily. And after the Mass on the 30th day, Justice appeared to another monk and said that those Masses had gotten them from purgatory to heaven. And so some of the monasteries around, you can find them online, where you can get Gregorian Masses said for your loved ones. And they'll say a Mass every day for 30 consecutive days. And so I know Susan Tassone has pushed that a lot. We've a couple of friends that have passed away since we learned about it, we've done it for. And just what a huge blessing that is for folks. So a reminder, if you have a loved one, to look into those Gregorian Masses. It was interesting last night, Father, because I had sent a text to my siblings. I said, listen, I just want to let you know they had Mass at 10:45 down at Gray's Ferry, down at the ministry on Monday morning, and then offered the Calyx Mass on Tuesday night. So, the day Mom died, within 2 hours, she had a Mass offered for her, and then another Mass the next night. And my sister wrote back, and she says, how many Masses do you have to have said for you in order to get to heaven? And I turned around right away and said, 30. And she's like, how do you know it's 30? And I explained to her about the Gregorian Masses. So just a learning lesson. And it's interesting, God allows these things to happen, and who knows what all the fruits will be. And, souls that may come back to church or what have you as a result of, the events that will happen over the weekend. So From all things, God brings good, right, Father?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
I was thinking with the Mass, there's one Mass, and all the Masses that have been celebrated, that will be celebrated for your mother as well, that the Lord saw that all that already, at the hour of death, and all those graces would be right there, because our Lord sees everything from the beginning to the end, and all those wonderful graces are applied there at the hour of death. But, the power of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Even Gregory said something about the sacrament. He said, if the sacrament of the Lord's Passion, the Mass, is to work its effect in us, then we must imitate what we receive and proclaim to mankind what we revere. And getting back there to this St. Gregory, called the Great, you mentioned all the great things that he did, and I was thinking when you said that he was cleaning up the clergy, he was really strict with the clerical celibacy. It made me think that a new broom sweeps clean, and he certainly did. Mm. But one of the things there, Ken, you kind of covered it pretty well. Just a couple of quotes. One here, he says, no matter what obstacles we encounter, we must not allow them to turn us aside from the joy of the heavenly feast, nor must we allow the charm of success to seduce us. We make use of the temporal things, but our hearts are set on what is eternal. I mean, to keep our eyes on the joys of the heavenly feast. That was kind of my homily today, really. It was really, the joys of the kingdom. And to keep that in heart, in mind, that, we're heading to something beautiful, the grand finale, at that hour of death when we see him. How beautiful that's really going to be, a lot of people are petrified and afraid and scared, like God's going to beat us, but he can't wait to get his hands on us, to love us, to save us from our sins and suffering and from death itself, and take away the shame and guilt and just wash us totally clean and present us to God our Father, and beautiful children of our Heavenly Father. And that's a moment to prepare for, to get ready for, because there's nothing greater that's going to happen. I was saying today at Mass that if we can take all of our happy times of life, maybe, graduations, Christmases, birthdays, Easters, marriage celebrations, celebrating baptisms of babies. I remember my first communion, all these graduations, all these happy times. If you can pack them all together as one, it's a glimpse, just a glimpse of what's in store for us, that the eye hasn't seen nor the ear heard, the glories that are in store for us, God's children. And it's really something to be prepared for. Everybody prepares for all kinds of things in this world. Look at athletes, how much they deprive their bodies and how hard they work. Pianists, I was always surprised to hear sometimes they practice 17 hours a day, for a recital. And when you prepare for the president to come down here, to visit Philadelphia, all the barriers are put up, make straight way for the president of the United States is coming to the city. But how much more, that Jesus is coming to save us from our sins and to restore us, Ken, that he's always right there with us. I have to say this, too. This comes to mind. Someone has given me a box of Sister Faustina's cards, and each day I just take one. I just take one and I read it, and every time I take one, it just seems to really speak right to my heart. And the one today that I picked up was really so beautiful. He said, "Do not weep, I am with you always. Do not weep, I am with you always." I said that really. I took weeping as complaining, struggling, difficulties, pressures. Don't let anything bother you. I'm with you always, and I got your back, and I'm going to take care of everything, and everything means everything.
Amen. And he is in everything, and like you said, the outpouring this week, and the opportunities to talk about our faith have already started to happen. And I think sometimes people don't think about their death and funerals, and kind of blessed that my mother left me a large envelope that said open upon my death, and to see that she already had some hymns picked out and a reading picked out, and and those types of things. And I think about all our men that meet on whatever morning it is for the Men's Gospel Reflection Group, where, you know, there's a prayer, one of the prayers that's in there is the prayer of Pope Clement the 11th. And the last stanza in there talks about, you know, meditating on the last four things, death and judgment, heaven and hell, and how important it is that we, you know, think about those things often. If you don't get to it every day, you know, at least every couple of days, because, and I can only speak from my own experience, when I think about those things, my behavior's different. I don't fear God when it comes time, but I know that things that I do today will have a direct impact on what that those final hours is going to be like. And so between frequent confession and meditation on those last four things, it can't help but have an impact on the way we think, the way we act, the way we treat others. And so highly recommend it. And I know it's another one of those things where if it wasn't part of your prayer routine, like that wasn't part of my prayer routine when I started going to that men's group, and then you start reading that every week, it's like, you know, there's something here, you know. And it's all for our benefit. You know, that's the thing when we talk about these things of God and things of our faith and the church and, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, there he goes again. And there's other times where, you know, you can actually see the light bulb go on, or you see the smoke coming out of their ears because they're actually thinking about it. And it has an impact. And I'll just give one quick example. We were talking about, you know, what heaven's going to be like. And it was like, you don't even have to think about what heaven's going to be like. It may happen here on this planet in the not too distant future, but nobody's going to sin. You know, nobody's going to hurt each other. You're going to find that God reveals himself and how loving and merciful and kind he is, and that you're not going to want to do anything to offend him. And I just imagine everybody that's still around whenever it happens, whether it's after we get to heaven or it happens here on earth, everybody walking around with the same love of God and love of neighbor, what that's going to be like? Going to be like? It's going to be incredible. And you know, if we're not ready for it yet, we're blessed to have the purgatory where we can finally root out some of those not so good inclinations that we may still like to hold on to. But nobody's going to have them when we get there. You know, nobody's going to be allowed to mess up my eternity or your eternity. You're going to have to all get on the same page, and if it takes a while, it takes a while, but we'll all be on the same page when we're all together in heaven.
Yeah, as you say, get ready. You know, he's coming. Yep. Speaking of the Curtis Mayfield, people get ready. There's a train coming. You don't need any baggage. You just need faith, and thank you, Lord. Amen. People get ready. There's a train coming, picking up people from coast to coast. And we know who the conductor is. Well, anyway, just to maybe end up with Pope Gregory the Great, one of the great things I bring home with me, Ken, from him, he was the first pope to designate himself as the servant of the servants of God. It really is. It's all about service. And it reminded me of St. Robert Bellarmine, you know, first grade. We had to memorize that catechism question. Why did God make us? God made us to know him, to serve him. God made us to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this life and be happy with him in the next. So how do we know God? It's really by obedience. So, you know, when I obey, then, you know, John 14, I'm always attracted to that whoever holds to my word, whoever obeys me and keeps my commandments, the Father and I will come to you, make our dwelling within you, and I will reveal myself. So it's like the obedience comes first, and then we know him. And when we know him, we want to serve him. And then you know we want to serve him. When we know him, we're going to love him. To know you is to love you. You know, so when we know him, we'll love him, and then we'll serve him. And then we're happy in the next. And that's not pie in the sky, because the kingdom of God is at hand, that heaven is here right now. And I can be happy in this world at peace and joy and all these wonderful virtues that the Lord wants to give to us. And we see that in the mystics, in the lives of the saints, how happy and joyful they always were. That was a hallmark of the saints, their complete joy. You know? But that obedience is so important. They keep his word, his commandments. And not too long ago in our liturgy, we heard about the gospel reading about pull out into the deep and I'll make you fishers of men.
Mm.
And Jesus is preaching in the boat. And at the end of his preaching, he says to Peter, pull out into the deep for a catch. And he said, well, Master, we've been at it all night long. There's nothing out there. And, you know, everything's, you know, the nets are washed. And but if you say so, Lord, if you say so, we will pull out into the deep. And he goes out in obedience, and they lower the nets, and here comes the revelation, all the fish. And Peter now falls down on his knees, and he goes from Master to Lord. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I always like to say, Lord, don't depart from me, because I am a sinful man. But there's the revelation. And he calls his partners, James and John, to help him with the fish. The two boats are sinking. Now, they got this big fish. They can cash in and have Miller time there. But what do? They follow Jesus. They leave the fish. They leave the nets. They leave the boats. They leave the Father. And they follow Jesus because of this revelation. They get to know him. And now they're loving him. And now they're serving him. And the same thing with a few days ago, maybe last week, we heard the gospel about Peter's mother-in-law. Now, Peter's mother-in-law, she was sick, and Jesus comes home. And it's interesting because Luke has the gospel which say Jesus comes home, and they tell him about Peter's mother-in-law sick. So he finds out because they tell him. He goes in. He takes her by the hand. He cures her disease. She gets up and waits on them. But Matthew changes the tradition. Jesus already knows she's sick. He goes in there, takes her by the hand, touches her, cures her, revelation, and then she waits on him. And there it is, that when God touches me, when he reveals himself to me, I know him, I love him, and I want to wait on him. I want to serve him. So this is the service that Gregory the Great, he was so great because he served the Lord. He loved the Lord. And you think about, that's how the Lord did. You know, and that's what Gregory said. You know, to imitate the Lord, the passion, we must imitate what we receive. When you hear Jesus said, I'm one among you who serves. I came to serve and not to be served. And he washes the apostles' feet. He gets on his knees for crying out loud. And he says, you know, the teacher, why, how much more should you wash one another's feet? How much more should you be serving one another? And as higher up as you go, here's the Pope. He's the servant of the servant. The Pope serves the bishops, the bishop serves the priest serves the people. But it's all about service, you know, the servants, to be a servant of the servant of God. And there's the model. Jesus is the model, you know. He come to serve, not to be served. But what a lesson that he gives us, you know, that if we just simply love one another and serve one another, we would have the kingdom of God in this world. Instead of looking for first place, you know, look for last place, because that's where we find God. He's so humble. Jesus is so humble. And if I want to find God, then put others ahead of me, and I'll find him right there in last place. And then the last will be first, because I'll be with the Lord. And that's first place once you're with the Lord, Ken. But
yeah.
Yes, that line, the first pope to designate himself as the servant of the servants of God.
Amen. And, you know, it just shows the link there to our 12-step programs, that, you know, the first 11 steps is us getting well. And then once we're well, we hit that 12th step where having had that spiritual awakening, that it's our turn to carry the message and to be that servant. And for a lot of people, myself included, it was that service work that I did before I started actually doing the steps that kept me away from the drink. And it's happened that way for so many others. They hesitate to get to the steps or don't get to them right away, but they get into service. They'll show up early and open up or make the coffee or clean up afterwards or serve the group in a leadership position, whether it's in the group itself or going to representing the group in the region or in the area. So It's that it really gets you into that service and servant mentality. And for so many people, they'll tell you that, you know, that it was that part of it that really kept them around.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting, Ken. Yeah. You know, that's so right on, the 12 steps. I was thinking while you were talking there that the 11th step, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. So we're going from meditation to something improving, which would be contemplation, knowing the Lord, then loving the Lord, and then serving the Lord. But, the spiritual awakening, there's the revelation that we've worked the steps. Now he's going to reveal himself. Now I want to serve him. So as a result of all the steps, I'm going to carry the message to other alcoholics, addicts, and practice these principles in all our affairs. Amen. It's a great connection, Ken.
Amen. All right, that brings us to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take a break. Give out the phone numbers if you've had been touched by God in a particular way in the last week or two and you want to share it with us. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to thank all of our listeners for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for some 40 years. And I personally can't thank you enough. Without your support, I wouldn't be here on Wednesday afternoons. And after 6.5 years, this is my life. This is really part of my life, and I enjoy doing it, and I hope you find it beneficial as well. If you haven't visited our website recently, please check it out, inhissign.com. All of our shows have been up to date and put out on the content page. If you go to inhissign.com, click on content, and then podcasts, all the shows are there. You can listen to them at your leisure. You can also find both the ministry, In His Sign Catholic Radio, and our show in particular, Saints and Sinners, on In His Sign on Facebook. And one of the other things, if you care to sponsor one of our shows, you can do that as well. Go to the Our House Ministries website and click on the donate page, and you'll see an opportunity there to sponsor one of these Wednesday shows. Also like to keep you up to date on what's going on with the Calyx Society here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We've added an additional unit. We'll get started this coming Saturday. That used to be active out there on a weeknight, and the unit disbanded for a while, but is coming back at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And just so happens that tomorrow we celebrate that feast, and this Saturday we'll resurrect that meeting. They'll be meeting on the second Saturday of each month. They will attend the 5 o'clock vigil mass and then a Calyx meeting afterwards. So my co-host here, Father McKay, will be offering mass on Saturday evening. Right, Father, the 5 o'clock vigil mass?
Yes.
And then he'll be there for the Calyx meeting after. So, again, that's the second Saturday of each month. Father and I get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We meet at the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, where we get started at 6 o'clock with adoration, followed by a mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday, this month that'll be September the 20th, we're actually over in St. Gabriel Church. We have a holy hour from 6 to 7 with exposition of the Blessed Sacrament and confessions, and then followed by mass at 7 o'clock. No meeting on that third Tuesday. Our Glenside unit meets at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist on the third Saturday of the month. We go to the 8:30 parish mass and then have a Calyx meeting afterwards. Their next meeting will be next Saturday, the 17th. Unfortunately, we have a wedding to go to up in Massachusetts, so I'm not going to be there for that meeting. My good friend Jimmy Trainer will take over the reins for that one. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, September the 15th. And last but certainly not least, the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield. They meet on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with a 4 o'clock vigil mass, followed by their Calyx meeting. And they'll be getting together on Saturday, September the 24th. So lots of opportunities. Almost we got two or three Saturdays a month now, the second, third, and fourth. So we need one more unit to pick up the first Saturday, and we'll be all set.
Yeah, all right. You know, we were talking last night about that first Sunday, really, in October to start something. I think I mentioned it to you, Ken, with Michael Romeo, who's a chef, and see if we can work out, you know, it's in Collingdale, St. Joseph's Parish, in that parish, I'd have mass, and then Michael would make us a meal.
Yeah.
So that would be a great day, getting together,
yeah,
you know, and sharing our faith.
Yeah, many,
and a meal.
Yeah, many of our listeners would know Mike. He would be here on Friday afternoons with John Madrigal back when I first started, and they would do that healing day of prayer together, so... Mike, good guy, real good
guy.
Yeah,
Holy Spirit's at work.
Amen, amen. Although, based on the phones here, I don't know how much work the Holy Spirit's actually doing. No calls. Again, the numbers, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, and toll-free, 888-343-2484. You know, we were... talking earlier this week about our mother's father and you know, the odd or God that they both passed on Labor Day, and I was telling my brother and sisters last night, you know, how much my mother would enjoy coming to mass with us at Holy Family Home, and quite a few times bumping into your mother, and they would get together and have their chats, and you know, how much my mother loved to be with your mother. And now they're both up there together, you know, looking down on us.
And that's what I said, Ken. I had that experience with the Blessed Mother in the middle of our two mothers, smiling on us.
But you know, and
how hard we tried to get her in Holy Family Home, and of course they weren't taking any new residents and all. And then that the Lord had another home for her, you know, eternal home, mansion in the kingdom. So God's so good.
Yeah, I had a whole stack of paperwork for another place that I was going to look into when we got back from our weekend. And like you said, it turns out it didn't need it after all. God had other plans, and you can't beat the apartment she's in now.
No.
You know?
That's right. First class.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
You got an otter god?
You know, I wanted to share this one. You know how I save my holy cards, Ken?
Yep.
And each day, I'll take them and remember the ones on their anniversary or their eternal birthdays. Sometimes I have 7, 8, 9. A few days I might not have any, but I always have one. So I had like a couple today. But Michael Blaney, you would remember Dave from St. Richard's, takes care of the garden there at St. Richard's. But I got up and I saw his card, and I lit a candle and I put it in my pocket. I said, I'll mention Dee's name at the petitions, Dee's husband's name at the petitions for Michael Blaney. And anyway, I get there and I got the holy card, and here are the masses for him. You know, I said, Otter God. Amen. I said, I was meant to say this mass.
Yeah.
I wasn't even supposed to be there on Wednesday, and I almost even forgot that I had the mass. But the other Otter God is the chalice that I use is Dee's mother's chalice. So it was like all these connections, for Michael Blaney. And I even had to say that before the mass, Otter God. But that was an Otter God experience.
Sorry I missed it, but I'll be there with you at St. Richard's tomorrow morning. Father's there most Thursdays, and I have the blessed to be able to assist most Thursdays. So come out and see us and offer up that sacrifice of the Mass. All right. Well, if folks aren't going to call in, I guess we're going to have to move on to the next saint.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, and one that a lot of people should be familiar with, Saint or Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She was born on August the 26th, 1910, and died on my Mother's Day, September 5th, 1997. Mm-hmm. So Mom will share that day with Mother Teresa. How about that?
Yeah.
She was a tiny woman. Anybody that's ever seen pictures of her, especially if she was standing next to somebody else, would know how tiny she was. And was just known for working with the poorest of the poor. She was beatified on October the 19th in 2003. And among those present were hundreds of missionaries of charity, the order that she founded back in 1950. Today, the congregation also includes contemplative sisters and brothers and an order of priests. She was Albanian, born to Albanian parents in what is now Skopje, Macedonia, and was the youngest of three children who survived. For a time, they lived comfortably, and her father's construction business thrived, but life changed overnight following his unexpected death. And during her years in public school, she participated in the Catholic sodality and showed a strong interest in the foreign missions. At 18, she entered the Loreto Sisters of Dublin, and it was 1928 when she said goodbye to her mother for the final time and made her way to a new land and a new life. The following year, she was sent to the Loreto Novitiate in Darjeeling, India. And there she took the name Teresa and prepared for a life of service, just what we were talking about with Gregory and our 12-step friends. She got assigned initially to a high school for girls in Calcutta, where she taught history and geography to the daughters of the wealthy. But she couldn't escape the realities around her, which was, the poverty, the suffering, and all the destitute people. So in 1946, while riding a train to a retreat, she heard what she later explained as a call within the call. And the message was clear. It was to leave the convent and help the poor while living among them. And so she would leave Loreto in order to establish a new religious community and, of course, worked amongst the poor for the rest of her life, the poorest of the poor, going out among the streets and, those that were dying and ill and to take them in, so much so that in 1979 she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. And on September the 5th, 1997, God called her home. She was canonized by Pope Francis on September the 4th, 2016. That's St. Teresa of Calcutta.
Yeah. Like you said, she was like a midget in stature, but a giant in spirituality.
Yeah.
And that whole saying, come be my light. And boy, she was a light. What, and we talked about serving. She served everybody, the destitute, you know, those who were sick and suffering. And yet, you know, they talk about her dark night, Ken, that she was a woman of faith. And then, you know, even though she radiated the presence of Jesus shining through her, she herself didn't really feel that, you know. She was always in that dark night, as they wrote that book about her, and that was kind of stunning. A woman like that could do so much. But it shows what faith is all about, you know. It seems like those who are weak in faith, they get a lot of, you know, a lot of signs from the Lord, locutions, visions, you know. I must be weak in faith because I've been blessed with so many revelations in my priesthood. But she didn't get that much except for that train ride, you know. But boy, she served the Lord in so many wonderful ways. You know, just kept going. And here's the thing that, you know, she worked with the poorest of the poor, Ken. And I always think about us, that we too work with the poorest of the poor, the needy of the needy, the needy of the neediest, and the sickest of the sick. And they're addicts. You know, they're spiritually, mentally, emotionally bankrupt, you know, suffering so much. And we see Jesus in them. And we serve Jesus through them. When Mother Teresa went in Calcutta and she saw these bodies that were dying, she would pick them up and wash them and bathe them. And they weren't even baptized, but she could see the suffering Christ in them. And that was a real charism and a real gift, that she could somehow believe that this is Jesus that she's taking care of. It was a millionaire who came and watched her wash these bodies. And the millionaire said to her, "I wouldn't do that for $1 million, Mother." And Mother looked up at him and said, "Neither would I do it for $1 million. I do it for the love of God." But really, she saw God in everyone, everything. And, you know, where she got her stamina from, her faith from, was her sacramental life. You know, their holy hours before they would go out, their masses, her rosary devotion. She was always giving medals out, miraculous medals out. And she would grab somebody by the hand, each five fingers, and she would say, "You did it to me." And I actually came close to her, Ken. I was actually in her presence. It was during the Eucharistic Congress back in, I think, was it 1976? And she was at the Civic Center, and we were getting ready for Mass. I was the cross bearer. And I looked up, and there she was, right in front of me. You know, she was actually sitting down in one of those chairs and radiating this peace and joy in her heart. And I felt real bad because one of the seminarians came up, got right in front of me, took her picture. You know, I said, that was really rude. And it kind of had like a little flash on it, too, you know. But it didn't even disturb her. She just stayed in that beautiful meditation. But I was that close to her. But I wasn't going to disturb her. I wanted to go over and say, "Hey, Mother, can you say a prayer for me, too?" But I kept my distance, but just to gaze upon her for a little bit. And yeah, how she loved the poor, though. It was a Dr. Japolsky. He was doing a paper on Mother Teresa, and he wanted to know her secret, you know, about how she looked so peaceful and animated so much peace. And she was in L.A., Los Angeles, and getting ready to fly down to Mexico City. And the doctor said, "Mother, would you mind if I feel like I'm getting to know your secret, but would you mind if I flew down with you to Mexico City and accompanied you?" And Mother Teresa said, "Oh, no, you're welcome to do that, doctor. But if you really want to know what peace is, find out how much it would cost to fly down from Los Angeles to Mexico and then back again. And don't come with me. Take that money and give it to the poor, and you will know peace." That was so beautiful, you know. And it's such a remarkable woman that just radiated. And that's what a saint is, really. A saint is a new light from heaven. "Come be my light." And she was that new light. Oh, it's just God shines through the saints, Ken.
That's right. And you know, like you said, the servant, the another servant of the servants, and you know, you were talking about her dark night and the perseverance, and that's what the saints, and we talk about it all the time. They, you know, they're not saints because they always feel good, or they're always getting the signs, they're always getting the consolations. I think a lot of times it's because they persevere despite not getting those things. And I think the same holds true for the addicts that we encounter. That, you know, a lot of times early on they talk about that pink cloud that people get on, and you feel better just because you know you're doing the right thing, and you feel better, a little better physically. You're not getting into the same trouble that you were getting in before, and so you're kind of on this pink cloud, and then at some point that cloud may go away, and you don't always feel good, and you wonder why you're doing all this work, and why you have to serve others. And back when I got sober, they were still allowed to smoke in the rooms. Why do I have to clean these ashtrays, or why am I cleaning these coffee pots? And it's a lesson in perseverance. And I don't think I hate the idea that God might test us, but at the same time, we know that, and from John of the Cross, right, that he'll withdraw and see if we'll persevere. And that's why it's so important, I think, that we get into these routines, whether it's daily mass or daily prayer or confession or whatever it is that we're doing in our spiritual life, that we develop that routine so that when things aren't going our way, we have a routine to stick to, knowing that sooner or later, hopefully sooner, but sometimes later, that good things will come around again. And I know that there's people that are out there that feel like it's never going to get better. Our good friend Frank, that's called a few times in the last couple of months, it wasn't all that long ago, a couple of years ago, where there was only one light for Frank, and it was a train coming at him. And I think about my sister and the trials and tribulations she's been going through with her autoimmune problems, and the doctors try all kinds of new things, and sometimes it just seems like she's not getting anywhere. And even though she puts on a good face most of the time, she gets frustrated, and you can't blame her, but she continues to do whatever she can to take care of her family, her husband, her dog Ollie, and what have you. And so I think oftentimes it's that perseverance that'll get us through the darker times, the troubles that we experience. And we just need to hang on, because we don't know when the miracle is going to happen. We don't know when things are going to get better. And so we persevere. We keep trying with that hope. And really, that's why we have these shows. That's why we have our churches and our faith. It's all about hope. If you're not experiencing hope, then there's something wrong with the message you're getting, or you're not finding it the right way. But it's all about hope, and you can't have the hope without a faith. And so what better way to get it than getting back to church, going to confession, developing a real solid prayer routine, and listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday. It'll help get you there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look out at everybody, Ken, and I don't know if I ever met anybody without crosses. We all got crosses. You were just mentioning some, with your sister and all. But yet, it's those crosses that the Lord lets us have. They really humble us. First of all, it's all grace. Even the cross is a grace. That I have a grace to embrace the cross. But the greater grace comes after the cross. That's where we see the height of grace. We're humbled with our crosses. We're crying out to God, and we persevere through that. All of a sudden, there's an increase of grace through our trials and tribulations. That's why Teresa Avila would say they're gold mines to exploit, because it brings us to the height. And very often, we're knocked down, we're humiliated. And two kinds of people in the world, I said that last week, I think, those who are humble and those who are about to be, because He deposes the proud-hearted, because He loves us. He deposed the proud-hearted only to exalt us. So our crosses really humble us. And then we're exalted with this height of grace, closer to God than ever before. But yeah, the saints, they show us that. They all had crosses and tribulations and trials, and just what Paul said, that no one enters into the kingdom of God without trials and tribulations. But the faithfulness, just to be faithful during difficult times, and just know that this too shall pass. I was thinking about that poster with the ship that was stuck in the sand, you know, at the beach, and underneath it had the caption, "The tide is coming back." It's like an ebb and flow, that this too will pass and will be higher than ever before if we remain faithful. It was a reporter that said to Mother, St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother, it's hard to say St. Teresa without saying Mother
yeah,
Teresa,
right, right.
But St. Teresa of Calcutta, a reporter asked her, when you see the Lord and he comes for you, what will he ask you? And she thought for a moment, and then she said, I think he would ask me, have I been faithful? And she has been so faithful. And when she started her, after that train ride and heard that call and left the Sisters of Loretta, she had nowhere to go in Calcutta. They didn't take her in. She was on the street like homeless. And where did she go? The Little Sisters of the Poor took care of her. In fact, Mother Teresa was over here in the 70s, I guess, during the Eucharistic Congress, and visited the Little Sisters of the Poor. And I've been privileged, Ken. We've had the Sisters of Charity, her sisters, down here for days of recollection and retreat days. And they would have me come to their place in Chester for Mass. And it was very inspiring. You know, they would work with, like, mothers, you know, that are in recovery, that are homeless, and they would even have their babies. And then they asked me one day if I can go in their cloister. It was a special day to bless their cloister. Well, when I went there, I was just impressed. You know, they didn't have rooms. They had one room, and it was five cots. And they only had two habits. That was it. You know, it was so simplistic. And what's amazing is that when people come in and visit them, what they want to do, they say, let us get you this. Let us get you a refrigerator. Let us lay new tiles on the floor here. Let us make this look better. You know, what attracts us in that poverty, we want to destroy. But they hold on to that. Mother Teresa would go into their houses, and she would see things. She would say, useful but not necessary. When they open up the house, the rugs will get thrown out of the window, everything. They lived the life of poverty and the spirit of poverty. They were totally dependent upon God for everything, for all the graces. And the Lord provided for them all the way, all the way. And again, it's that sacramental life, that love for the Eucharist that they had, their rosaries, their devotions, their holy hours. That's where they got their strength. And another card that I had from Sister Faustina was that all of our graces flow from the Blessed Sacrament. All of our strength flows into our souls from the Blessed Sacrament. And how true that is. There's the summit and the source of all of our strength, of all grace, of everything that we need, is coming right out of that little white host, the greatest love story ever told, as Bishop Sheen would tell us. And it is the love story. It's our Lord, and he waits for us in all the tabernacles of the world. Come to me when we're overburdened, when we have our crosses. Come to me, and we know where he's at because he told us, this is my body, this is my blood.
Amen. Well, Father, that wraps up another show. We're at the top of the hour. Can we get your blessing, please?
Yeah. Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, God, we praise and thank you for all the blessings, you know, for our radio ministry here and for all the listeners. And we just ask that you send out those graces through the heart of your Son, Father, by the gift of your Spirit, from his Eucharistic presence, and all those who are in need, who are listening. Dispel fears and worries, be the strength that's not our own, and bless us all, especially all those who are in mourning and grieving, especially the Johnston family. And may the divine assistance remain always with us, and may the souls of the faithful departed, especially upon Barbara, rest in peace. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless everyone.
All right. Thank you, Father. For our listeners, Daniel O'Connor is already on the line, so don't go away. We'll be back right after a short break.